A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacey.
Hello, meat lovers. Adam here from Carnivore Today. I'm so grateful to have you with us. Today, we're chatting with the one and only Kip Moore from Carnivore Kip Barbecue and Cast Iron. This man is truly exceptional in the things that he's done. You're in for a treat with this interview and the knowledge bombs that he's going to drop on you. Hi, Kip. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's an honor.
Yes, it's definitely an honor and a privilege to have you on today. I know you're busy and your time is limited, so I really appreciate you taking the time to answer a few questions and hopefully entertain a few folks out there. And with that, let's get started. So, for folks that don't know you, can you kind of maybe share just a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a small town country boy. I grew up, I had a great family. I love my family dearly, but we had this problem. And the problem was growing up in the South, we ate tons of fried food and country food and a lot of your beans and corn and field peas and all that stuff, the country stuff. And then also we were close enough to Louisiana that we had a lot of Cajun food and stuff like that as well. So, I mean, we just had like a lot of junk food and a lot of sweets, homemade sweets. And I was obese from like when I was in kindergarten, I weighed at like 107 pounds, I believe, whenever I was in kindergarten. And a kindergartner shouldn't weigh that. And then by the time I was in like seventh grade, I was over 300 pounds. And I knew that because to be on the football team, you had to weigh. And so I was over 300 pounds in middle school. And by the time I made it to, I didn't even go to high school. I dropped out in the eighth grade. And then later on, I went back and got my GED and decided to go to college. And while I was in college, a friend of mine was like, "Hey, let's go to the gym." So I tried to go to the gym with him and I weighed and I was like 420 something pounds. And and then after college, I got married and you get that happy life weight or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah.
I started putting on more weight. And then at my highest, I was 498 pounds. I was 2 pounds away from 500 pounds. And, I had tried doing like low calorie stuff and, I didn't do some of the bizarre stuff like the potato diet or whatever, but I tried to do low calorie tons of times because that's what my doctors always recommended. And so they would always say, "Hey man, you need to eat less and you need to go exercise and stuff like that." And they teach me about the food pyramid and all that stuff. And get me linked up with dietitians and all that stuff. It never worked for me. I continued to gain weight and I continued to be unhealthy. And then my wife and I, we had struggled to have our daughter and because we wanted a kid for like, we've been together like 5 years and we were trying. And thankfully God answered that prayer and we had that beautiful baby girl. And but with that, awesome. I was still super overweight and I was super out of shape. And when she started growing, I had been growing too. And so it was getting to the point where I couldn't do the simple things like picking her up out of her crib. I could physically do it, but it took everything out of me. I could, she had a lounge chair in her nursery room. And when she was like 9 months old, I would try to get up. I would be holding her after I put her to sleep. And I would sit there and wait and contemplate getting up. And I would have to rock and rock really hard and then yank myself up out of the chair. And I felt like I was going to break my knees. Like, wow. I felt like something was going to pop in my knees when I would get up with her. And I was like, dude, if you're only 29 years old and your daughter is not even one yet and you're struggling this bad, you have got to do something different. And so low calorie wasn't the answer. And I decided, hey, I'm going to give this carnivore thing a try. Because I had seen Dr. Barry talk about it. Because I didn't mention it, but I had tried keto multiple times, within the past 2 years of that. And I had felt a little bit of success from doing keto, but I kept caving into the keto sweets and treats and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, if I do carnivore, then it's going to eliminate all that stuff. So I decided to try it, and I was going to try it in January. So I started January 2nd, and I was going to do it for 2 weeks is what I told myself. And within 2 weeks' time, I told my wife, I was like, I'm probably going to be doing this for a long time because I love the way I feel. So here I am now. I'm still on this journey, and I'm loving it.
That's awesome, man. So you said you started in January. Was that of 2023?
Yeah, 2023. So it was just over 8 months ago. Is whenever I started, and man, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. You could offer me a big old bag of money and you can keep the money because I was dying. I was slowly killing myself. And the only other option would have been to have a weight loss surgery. And so it was either have a weight loss surgery or do this, or if not, I was eventually going to die.
Wow. That's I'm glad that you found the carnivore lifestyle, man. I really am. You're a great guy, and the world would be in a worse place if you weren't here. So I'm glad you found it.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I used to lay in bed, and I don't talk about it all the time, but I'm kind of getting more open to talk about it a little bit. But like, I used to lay in bed, and at night, you know, because I like to have fun and cut up and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
During the day with everybody, I like to have a good time. And when I'm in a room, I like to cut up. But when I would lay in bed by myself at night, or even when my wife's there sleeping beside me, I would be thinking like, what if I die tonight? Like, what if I go to sleep and I don't wake up? And like, I leave my wife and my daughter with nobody because of the food that I'm eating and the situation that I'm putting myself in. Mm-hmm. Because, I was the problem. I kept going to the carbs and I kept going to the sugar. And so I used to think about that stuff all the time. What if I have a heart attack while I'm sleeping? Or what if this happens? Or I have a stroke or all this stuff. And once I started this, man, it gave me a glimpse of hope. And the more that I've been on this journey and all that I've learned in the past 8 months, I'm like, I finally believe in myself. I finally believe that I can do great things because of this. So I owe so much to it. That's the reason I try to preach it from the rooftops to people, is because it has helped me tremendously. Like, why would I not tell people about something that has helped me this much? You know, it's changed my life, man.
Absolutely. That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's hard when you're in that position before, like with myself pre-carnivore, to not blame yourself and you think that it is your problem. But honestly, I think there's might be more to it than that. Because I kind of view sugar as a legalized drug.
It's
one of the worst things on the planet. For most everybody and their health. And I think some people are more predisposed to the cravings with the sugar, you know, to keep going back to it than some other people are, which is where you see the differences in weight with people. You know, some people are really overweight. Some people aren't as overweight, or maybe, you know, internally they're not healthy, but, you know, genetically there might be some reasons why people are a little bit more attracted to sugar. But you know, and when you're in that sugar fog, it's hard to make sense of stuff, you know, and make good decisions in those sorts of things. So it's hard to not blame yourself when you're in that position. And, you know, I don't blame you for that. And you see the light now. So that's the important thing. And you can pass that on to your family and your daughter. And that's awesome.
Oh, absolutely, brother. It's go time now. Like it's all uphill from here.
That's awesome. So have you tried any other weight loss diets in the past? I remember you said some calorie deficit kind of things. Was there anything specific?
Yeah, it was mainly like I used to watch that show called like The Biggest Loser, and I'd watch them. They'd like do the workouts. They'd work out super hard, which I didn't work out as much as them, but they'd work out super hard, and then they would like be super restricted or whatever. So I used to try to do that. And even when I was a kid and super overweight, I used to go to this program in the summertime. And they always talked about, you know, eat lean meats and eat like they would at the event we'd stay at for a whole weekend or a whole week. Actually, we would eat like turkey bacon and we'd eat like they had like tofu there and all kind like yogurt and all this other different stuff. And so we would have that instead of like a normal, you know, food or whatever. And so I would try that stuff because that's what I had been told for so long. So I kept trying that. I never tried to like go vegetarian or vegan or nothing like that, but I tried low calorie. There's no telling how many times. And I even tried keto a tons of times. And I have a lot of respect for keto. If somebody wants to do keto, that's fine. But me, I still struggle with, because in keto, like everybody's trying to make something that is like the real thing. Like everybody's trying to make like this pancakes that taste just like regular pancakes or whatever. And all that stuff does for me is make me want real pancakes because it does not taste like real pancakes. So whenever I do carnivore and I get all that stuff out and I'm eating, you know, meat and like if I eat eggs or something like that, like it simplifies everything. And so that's why I've been able to stick with this better than I have keto. But if you're doing keto, my only recommendation to you is, you know, keep it clean, keep it a whole foods kind of keto. And I think you'll be all right. But I hate it when I see people doing keto and they're like, and I ask them like, what are you eating today? Well, they're like, well, I ate some Quest bars and then I ate some keto cookies. Yeah. And then I had for after supper, you know, then I got done after I got done eating supper, I had like some Rebel ice cream and I'm like, dude, that's not what keto is supposed to be. That's what the food industry sold you. But like it's supposed to be whole foods. And if you're going to do it, at least do that, because that's why keto gets a bad rap, is because everybody has tried to make it into this something that it's not.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, vegans even try to make hamburgers. The madness.
Impossible burger. Come on, man. Right. If you're trying that bad to make it taste like a hamburger, why not just eat a hamburger?
Exactly. I agree. So you've had some success with weight loss since January. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I've lost 104 pounds as of today or as of yesterday since January. I know I'm super excited about it. And it hasn't been perfect. Like I've had like four or five slip ups. Like two of the slip ups, or maybe two or three of the slip ups, was just like that one meal. But then like two of the slip ups was like that whole weekend. And they actually have, some of them actually happened for different reasons. So I've kind of learned, because to me, carnivore's got me more in tune with my body. Like, and I'm learning like what triggers me. Like whenever I have, because right now I only drink water or plain carbonated water. I used to drink bubblies that had the flavoring in it. And I've even cut those out. Like I don't drink anything with any flavoring in it at all. And so a couple weeks ago, I had some stuff that had flavoring in it. Like I think it was a Celsius sparkling water. And then the next day it made me be like, well, let's get some bubbly or something like that. And those little flavors for me, I'm not saying this for everybody, but for me, that made me start craving sugar again. So, and then I went on a binge for a weekend and I was just like, it was like the old Kip. Like I went to Popeyes and I got two chicken sandwiches. And I got like fries and I got a dessert and I got a big old sweet tea. And so like, I was like going ham and I felt awful the next day. And, right. So I'm learning little things that I shouldn't do that will, help me to stay on track because, I really am getting more in tune with my body by doing this.
Yeah. That's really awesome, man. So when you kind of went off plan a little bit, obviously that's going to cause at least a temporary weight loss, stall. Did you notice, like, at least for me, when I go off plan and have a little bit of carbs, I'll end up gaining a couple pounds. But then if I was in a stall, it'll pick right back up. Do you experience anything like that?
Well, the first time that I cheated for the whole weekend, I weighed and it wasn't pretty. I put some pounds on. The second time that I done that, I said, like, I was so disappointed in myself. I said, I ain't even going to weigh. So I didn't weigh because I knew that when I weighed, I knew the scale was going to be up and I hate to see that number go up. So I just waited like maybe 5 days after or whatever. Or right. Actually, that was around the time, like the day I started back, I think, a day or two after I started back, I started what I call the Sea Lion Challenge. Mm-hmm. And basically it's, you can eat like any beef or any seafood, but you can't eat other stuff. You can't eat chicken. You can't eat pork, can't eat bacon, can't eat eggs, mm-hmm. but you can eat beef or any ruminant animal or seafood. Mm-hmm. So, I started doing that like right after I cheated and right. I dropped like, and I've only started that probably the past week and a half and I've dropped like 9 pounds.
Ooh,
so
nice.
And that was right after the cheating, but you got to think when I cheated, I weighed, 391 pounds, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And okay. So I weighed 391. I didn't weigh after I cheated. Cause I knew I was up. There's no way I cheated all weekend and didn't gain a pound. There's no way.
Right.
So since I didn't weigh, within like a week after that or a week and a half after that, I lost whatever I gained plus 9 pounds.
Yeah.
So you may be
in the same situation
all that I had been having.
Yeah. It's weird. So I had talked to Ryan Murphy with Against the Grain and he mentioned that that's actually a thing. And I can't remember exactly what it was that he called it. It was called, like carb sweating or something. I don't know what it is, but it's effectively, it's like when you eat carbs, if you're in a stall and you eat carbs, it will do something molecularly to draw the fat out of the cell even more after that, which is,
yeah, I've heard of people like carb loading, I think it is. And I've heard like multiple different things. All I know is I know that I had to gain weight. And I know that I lost that weight plus 9 pounds and it's only been like a week and a half.
Right. That's amazing. And I like the name Sea Lion Diet. That's really, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I like it too. Like me and a person was commenting on my YouTube videos and I was telling them, yeah, I'm wanting to do like lion diet, but I live close to the Gulf Coast. I live not far from like Gulf Shores and Orange Beach in Alabama and Pensacola Beach in Florida. Mm. So, I was like, I live so close to the coast that like, I love seafood. So, like if I'm going to do lion diet, I need to add seafood. Plus, I mean, seafood, I don't think people have been eating seafood for years. Right. And wild animals, they try to hunt seafood all the time. Like bears, ask them how much they love salmon.
Right.
And, so, I mean, that's why I was like, I'm going to allow seafood in my lion diet and just call it sea lion. Or I just said, I'm going to allow seafood in my lion diet. And this lady come in and she said, oh, Sea Lion. So then I was like, dude, that's the name there. We're just going to call it Sea Lion.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's like awesome, it, man. Yeah, for sure. Let's see. So let's shift gears for a second.
Absolutely.
And get to know a little bit more about Kip.
Okay.
What's your favorite movie?
I guess ones that if I'm watching, like if I'm scrolling on the TV, like if that movie's on, I'm going to stop and watch it. Those right. are probably a couple of my favorites. So can I name two?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Forrest Gump.
Okay.
I love watching Forrest Gump. Anytime I'm scrolling through the TV, if Forrest Gump's on, I'm watching it. And it might be because I live in Alabama and he was in Greenbow, Alabama.
Right. That's a good impersonation.
I mean I literally from South Alabama, so I get it. But also I love to watch The Waterboy. It's not like a super complex movie or anything like that. Like, I mean, right. there's a lot of movies with a whole lot more depth to them and stuff, but I just like right. those movies where I can chill, relax, and have a good time. So I like The Waterboy and I like Forrest Gump.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Forrest Gump's got the Bubba Gump shrimp company or whatever in there.
Oh, yeah. Bubba Gump. I love that movie. I can watch it anytime.
That's awesome. Okay. So if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Superpower. I don't know. I've never even really thought about that. I don't know. Just be able to be everywhere at once that way, or whenever I want to be able to, cause I worry about when my daughter gets older, like where she's like, am I always going to be there to protect her? I'm not always going to be around. I would like to be able to always be able to protect her.
That's awesome, man. That's a really cool superpower.
Oh yeah.
So, if we was to name you with that superpower, what would your name be?
I don't know. I have no idea what it would be. Just, I don't know. You might have to help me with that.
Super Kip. We'll go with Super Kip.
Yeah, I love it. I like it.
So if you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Is this like as a carnivore, or are you talking about like if it was my last meal?
The same meal every day for the rest of your life.
Well, it would probably be, so I can't put two dishes in it. Cause if I could put two dishes, it would be steak and shrimp.
Well, let's do that.
Okay. Yeah. It would definitely be steak and shrimp would be like my go-to meal for the rest of my life. I could eat steak and shrimp every day.
Nice. I wish I could eat shrimp. I'm allergic to them. So,
you're missing out, man.
Yeah, I know. You talk about how good they are and everything makes my mouth water, but I can't eat it.
So you can't eat any seafood, or is there anything that you can eat?
Shellfish in general. So
I got you. So you could probably eat like salmon or something like that.
Yep. I can eat the fish and tuna and stuff like that. Yeah, sushi. I eat sushi. I don't like the grass that they wrap on the outside, or seaweed or whatever it is. That stuff is nasty. I don't know how people eat that. It's like taking trash and wrapping it on the outside of fish.
You're right.
Yeah. Let's see. So what, aside from YouTube, are there any hobbies that you enjoy?
Well, even before I started my YouTube channel, I've always been into barbecue. Is definitely my thing. And then like a couple years before, like I've been into barbecue for like a long time, but I also a few years back, I started getting into cooking with cast iron, because when I'm not cooking outside barbecue, I hate coming inside and cooking in all these little flimsy pans or whatever. I'm just like, I want something real to cook in, something that people use for a long time. So I like to cook with cast iron. But I mean, in my day-to-day life, I like to, which I don't get to do it that much anymore, but because I mean, having a daughter and all that stuff, I mean, and a wife and different things always going on, but I like to fish, I like to hunt, but I don't get to do it as much as I would like now. But hopefully eventually within the next couple of years, things can settle down and I can actually get back into it like I want to, because I love the idea of going and hunting and stuff, getting my own meat and things like that. Because, I mean, that's just perfect when you're on the carnivore diet. and fishing. The only thing is, like, when I used to fish, I used to fry everything. Like, you know, we would fry our fish and batter it. And I don't need the batter now. So maybe I'm living close to the coast. There's a lot of like different fishing that you can do to where you can just blacken it or grill it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I might start getting more into that as well as along with the hunting.
There you go. Nice. That's awesome. So I did see the picture that you posted of one of your smokers, and that thing was massive, massive, dude. Like, it was the size of a house. How big is that thing?
I love that pit. That thing is my baby. That's a company built it called Shirley Fabrication. I don't work for them or anything, but they built it up in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And I've had pits built from all over the country, and I think that's the best one. I think that one is, like, I've had them built in Texas. I've had them built in Kansas, different places, because I've been in, and I love smoking meat. Like, and the thing is, like, the better quality your smoker is, the easier it is on you cooking the barbecue. It makes your job way easier, and you don't have just as many things go wrong. And so, but I think that company makes the best, and it'll hold a lot of food too. I could probably, I mean, depending on what cut of meat we're cooking, like if we were cooking pork butts, I could feed 700 people probably at one time easily.
That's insane.
Yeah, and that's from one batch. I mean, once them come off, I could keep the fire going and throw more on there if I need to for an event. Because you can take pork butts and you can throw them in an ice chest when they come off the smoker, and you can keep them hot for 12 hours easy. And so then I could cook a whole nother batch, and we could feed well over 1,000 people in no time.
Wow, that's incredible. So is that thing, you have to pull it with a truck?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, a truck. I mean, you could pull it with an SUV, depending on what kind of SUV it is. But yeah, I mean, it weighs, I think it weighs 2,500 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it's American made steel. Like the firebox in it is a half inch thick all the way around. So like it's thick steel, and the welds on it are beautiful. Like the guy that does it, I think he's one of the best welders in the country. Like, he built, like, the welds are just, I just like to go out there and look at it sometimes. You know what I mean? Because it is a work. You could tell it's not like going in, like, academy and looking at one of their smokers and opening it up and looking at their welds. I mean, it is a work of art. It really is a work of art.
That's awesome, man. So have you gotten any pictures of you with the smoker, like, put together a calendar for everybody?
No,
you know, like a fireman's calendar.
I've took a couple pictures with it, but I need to take some more pictures of me standing out there with it. I've got like maybe 3 pictures, but they're not, I hadn't really thought that much into it, but I do need to.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, you got me beat. I just got my first little pellet smoker, and it feels like a little Bunsen burner or something compared to the picture of that one you shared.
You can make decent food with a pellet smoker though. They can turn out some pretty good barbecue. But I mean, I still prefer cooking with a wood smoker. Like, I think the flavor is more authentic. Mm-hmm. But you can. I mean, I've used pellet smokers before, and you can make most of the time, if you make barbecue with a pellet smoker, the average person will not know the difference. But if you take somebody like me, or somebody that has had a lot of barbecue, I'll know the difference right away. I can tell you if it was cooked with a pellet smoker. I can tell you just about what kind of smoker it was cooked with as soon as I taste it, because I've had so much barbecue or whatever. And then and everybody that gets on YouTube that cooks with smokers, you can tell right away most of them are cooking with pellet smokers. Because there's that sound that you get whenever they're using a pellet smoker, and it always ends up in their videos because pellet smokers have that noise that they make.
Like a vacuum cleaner or something. Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Got a couple more fun questions here. If you were stranded on a desert island, what 3 items would you have with you?
If I was something to hold water in, something to start a fire with, and some type of knife.
Okay.
Like whether it be a machete or some type of knife, I would want to have those. I would want to have a way to start a fire.
Right.
Because eventually I'm going to have to get to a water source, and because I'm going to water first and I'm trying to find shelter as well. I'm trying to make shelter because you're going to need to get out of that sun at some point. So those three things.
Yeah, that's awesome. There for a second, I thought you were going to say volleyball as one of them.
Oh, Wilson?
Yeah. Because your Forrest Gump reference earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take Wilson with me.
Yeah, right. So let's see. Let's jump back to carnivore for a little bit.
Absolutely.
You obviously have done incredible with the weight loss. So let's touch on that a little bit again. So just so everybody knows, you're at, what'd you say, 391 or something like that now?
Right now, I weigh 382.
382. Okay, that's right. So, yeah. And how tall are you?
I'm 6'4".
Whoo! Okay. So you're not as high up there as what most people would think. I mean, you got a couple pounds to lose, but most people, you know, are my height, you know, 5'9", 5'10". And yeah, if we're up in that range, it's
yeah, bad. I think I probably still need to lose like 125 to maybe 150 pounds.
Right.
Something like that. Cause I want to get down to, I'm not going to say an exact number because like my body will tell me when I'm right where I need to be, but
right.
I'm thinking it's probably going to be somewhere around 240, maybe 250 somewhere. It might be 230, but with my frame, like my shoulders and everything is like super wide and just my frame and my height. I don't think I'll ever be under like 200 pounds. Like some guys get to, I just don't see my body being built that way.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I went way past what I thought I was going to be at. I thought I was going to be, you know, I set a goal for 165 and, cause you know, I'm 5'9" and, I thought that was where I was going to be, but I hit 145.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the heck? You know, I haven't been that since high school.
To lose more, if my body goes down to like 220 or something, then that's fine if that's what my body wants to do. But I don't know, especially if I, you know, start, you know, lifting heavy things more or whatever. I mean, I could see me being around 240 pounds and having a little bit more muscle to me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure you've got a lot more muscle to you right now than what you think.
There's some hidden underneath there for sure.
Yeah. And then watching them videos of you running around like a crazy man.
Yeah,
sprinting like a sprinter. Jeez,
dude, I catch a lot of flack for that. There's a lot of people that's like, "Don't do it, don't do it." And I'm like, "Look, man, carnivore made me do it because like I used to always want to sit on the couch, and carnivore eating meat makes me want to get up and move. And then I'm out there walking, sometimes my body's like, "No, don't walk. Start jogging a little bit." And then I'll take a break, and then I'll walk some more. And then my body's like, "Dude, jog again." So then I do it. Like, I don't do it just, you know, making myself do it. My body is telling me move. And so, I mean, I'm just enjoying it.
That's awesome. Yeah. It sounds like you're really in tune with your body and what it wants and what it needs. And you're just cooperating. Things are going great, man.
I appreciate it.
Who's taking the action shots of you?
Me. I don't have anybody out there with me. Like, I'll find something that I can post my camera up on, and then I'll just run by it and take a picture. I wish I had somebody out there with me that could just start taking a ton of pictures for me, but I just basically just set it to like go off in like 5 or 10 seconds, and then I just run by the camera and take the picture.
Dude, that's awesome, because when I've seen those photos, I'm like, man, he's doing a really good job at conveying the motion and intensity in this image, and that's like light years ahead of everybody else doing that sort of thing. Because I'm a sports photographer, so I take pictures of NFL players and NHL players and NBA players, and you know, and I've done it for a while, so I know what it takes. And you're doing a really good job, man.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I just take a couple takes of me running past the camera, and and see what, and I have it set up on my camera to take like 3 to 5 shots at one time. Right. So it'll take a couple shots real quick, and then I'll just go through and see which one I think looks okay. But I mean, it can be hard to do, especially if I've did my run and my exercise and all at first, and I'm tired and it's hot outside and I'm just like trying to get a picture, and I'm just like, I'm just want to throw my camera down. I'm trying.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good stuff. So usually on Friday nights, I think it is, you host a live stream with a few other folks. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Well, it was me and Sean came to me first because he didn't have a YouTube channel, but he had already been on his journey and he had already lost a ton of weight. And he was like a moderator for Carnivore Quest, and they were good friends or whatnot. And he approached me and was like, "Hey, man, why don't we start like a live stream? Because I'm just now starting my YouTube channel." And I was like, you know, I hadn't did any live streams really. I had never done any live stream at that point. I had just did interviews that people had asked me to come on like this. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, so we'll give it a try and we'll do it once. Well, we did it on like I don't remember if it was a Friday or Saturday night, but afterwards we were like, man, this was kind of fun. Let's keep doing it. So we kept doing it again. And we were like, well, let's just invite somebody on. So we invited Dave from No Carb Life on, and then once he got on there with us, I mean, we just all had that connection, and we kind of become like family. And, you know, we cut up a lot. Even after the live stream ends, we talk and have a good time and stuff like that. And we're actually interested in each other's lives and how we're all doing. And then eventually we got Larry to join us, and we try to have guests sometimes. But right. We try, like, it's hard to have too many guests when you have 4 people already on there. Right. Like, sometimes, like, if you have tons of guests, there can be just so much commotion. But we're getting to where we want to add a few guests in, like, even if it's not every time. But we just try to get on there, and it's like a cool, chill vibe. We hang out and have a good time and answer questions. And we're all at different levels, like, you know. Carnivore Quest been doing it for a long time. Dave didn't have that much weight to lose, but he was able to lose that. And I have a lot of weight to lose still. And Sean's already lost a ton of weight. Right. So it's just, we all at different places and have different perspectives on this journey. And we've been enjoying doing that live stream.
Man, that's cool. So if you had one person that you would like to have on that live stream, who would it be?
Man, a lot of people.
If you had your pick, who might be one of the tops?
I could have everybody on that live stream or whatever. But, I mean, one day I would love to have Dr. Barry on. And it might be 2 years from now or something like that. I'm not trying to rush the whole process. I know we're little old small ants compared to him. Right. But I just want to have him on one day. Even if it's not the live stream, I want to talk to him one day. Because if I wouldn't have watched his videos, I would be dying. I would die younger. Like, I would be dying a younger death or earlier death if I wouldn't have started watching some of his videos and him talking about carnivore. So I just want to thank the man. And one day I want to shake his hand, like, in person. One day I want to find him at one of his events or whatever and shake his hand like everybody else and say, hey, thank you for sharing that knowledge with me, because now I can actually live and enjoy life and spend time with my family. So I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, that would be really awesome, man. I feel the same way. I've learned about carnivore with Joe Rogan, with the autoimmune condition that he has, and thought, this is crazy. People eating just meat. So I started doing some research and I found a Dante Ferrigno video. And like when he first started, I swear it looks like he was like 65 years old or something in his like before pictures and before videos. And then I watched a couple more and I'm like, there ain't no way this guy's this buff now, you know, like this looks like a whole different person. Right. So that piqued my interest. So now I'm going to do some more searching, and I found Dr. Barry next. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it was, I dove in both feet and all his videos, and just the way that he presents everything, very convincing. And now I know through practice that everything he's saying is the God's honest 100% truth. And
absolutely, man.
It's absolutely reversed all the bad stuff in my life, and it's going in the right direction. So he's at our tops too. So
yeah, and early on, I'd like to add that early on, I did watch a lot of Ferrigno Freedom too. I still watch his channel. And I still watch, I watch Carnivorous Me, and yep, I watched hers as well early on, because I know that she had a lot of weight to lose, mm-hmm. and it was motivating me to see somebody that was, you know, heavier and was trying to lose weight. So I don't get out and reach out to people like Sean. He always talking to all these different people, and like, I'm worried because like, I don't have all the time in the day to do all that different stuff. But like, mm-hmm. I would eventually like to reach out to them too and talk to them and let them know that, hey, they helped me along the way. They don't even know it because I've never really talked to them, mm-hmm. but they have all played a part. And Carnivore Quest did too. I told him once he finally came on the live stream, I was like, dude, you know how many videos I watched when I first started? Like,
right.
It inspired me to keep doing it because, mm-hmm. I mean, yes, you have your doctors and all that stuff. But it's cool when you have like regular people too, that like just living their day-to-day lives that are on this journey. It's so, I don't know. It's more convincing to me to see those regular people that aren't making $100,000 to say it or $1 million a year or something, to be saying the same message. And, that kind of encouraged me to stick with it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Same here. You know, I watched the Carnivore Quest videos and God knows how many other channels, man. I subscribe
yeah,
to lots of them.
I'm not even going to try to name them all. And even some of them, they're not carnivore channels, but
right.
a lot of them, they know that I watch their channels because I try to comment in their videos because I want them to know that, hey, I'm supporting you. You know, right. I want them to know that, like, I'm. And if they're keto or ketovore, because I watch a couple ketovore channels, a couple keto channels, and it's just, there's a lot of great content out there, and it's not all people that have 200,000 subscribers. There's a lot of great people out there on this journey.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome, man. We definitely appreciate your support, hopping in the chat on the Keto Cookout and all of our channels too. You know, that doesn't go unnoticed, and we definitely appreciate that. You're really, really good guy, man.
Absolutely. We have a good time, man. We just have fun.
So in terms of carnivore diet and non-scale victories, have you noticed anything else that's been helped eating the carnivore lifestyle?
Well, in the first 4 months, I went from being diabetic to not even pre-diabetic anymore. So I completely reversed diabetes in 4 months.
Well,
so that part was amazing. And then on top of that, I mean, I still kind of hold my shoulder wrong, because mm-hmm. it hurts so bad for so many years. Like when I sit, I kind of sit like that a little bit.
Right.
And that shoulder has bothered me so bad for like 3 or 4 years. And mm-hmm. it used to ache and throb. And I would go to see orthopedic specialists, and I'd go to, you know, physical therapy, trying to get strength in it. Cause I didn't move it hardly for so long that I had no strength left in that shoulder.
Right.
And, It hurt every day, and I would take ibuprofen and different stuff for it. And I used to rub, like, I think it was called diclofenac. I would mm-hmm. rub that on it and try to help with the pain or whatever. And about 2 weeks in, my shoulder, I woke up and I realized that my shoulder wasn't hurting anymore. And,
wow.
And so that right there was probably around the time where I was telling my wife 2 weeks in that I was like, hey, I'm going to keep doing this, because I felt better, but also my shoulder had stopped hurting. And I, of course, in those first few weeks, you step on the scale and you see you're losing that water weight and things like that. But mm-hmm. all that, but I know when you lose water weight, that's still a good thing, because all that extra inflammation in your body, you don't need all that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I was losing that, and then started, you know, losing the weight, which was good. But you know, the shoulder pain, I've said it before in the live streams or whatever, that I had a hemorrhoid named Harry I tell him all the time, like, he used to play peekaboo. And, after I started my carnivore journey, he started shrinking, and eventually he went away. So we had to have a funeral for Harry, and it's because I started the carnivore diet. And there's just been lots of things. I used to have bad, like, indigestion. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would lay in bed and, like, you know, it would kind of come up and burn at night. And a lot of times when I would eat, right before mm-hmm. I would eat, like 30 minutes or an hour before, probably 30 minutes before, I would go ahead and take Tums, because I knew after I ate, my stomach was going to be like, or my chest and my stomach area was going to hurt. Mm-hmm. So I used to have to take Tums all the time. I hadn't had to take Tums since I started this carnivore journey.
That's awesome, and man.
What's crazy, though, is whenever I cheated for a whole weekend, not on the first day, but by like the second to third day of that weekend, mm-hmm. I had to take Tums again. So it was definitely the food, because the whole time I do this, I never have heartburn, indigestion, nothing. But if I cheat for a weekend, by the end of that weekend, I'm taking Tums again. So that, I mean, it's just been incredible and very eye-opening to be on this journey.
That is awesome, man. So I had an issue with my shoulder too, but I had the reverse of you. So I think I had so much inflammation that the inflammation was keeping things in place in my shoulder. And when the inflammation was gone, it kind of let that joint be loose, and whatever impingement there was in the nerve, it was much more pronounced. And I actually found an orthopedic surgeon wrote a book, and in order to help your shoulder without having surgery. Mm-hmm. And it's something like, you know, stay off my operating table, something like that. I don't remember the exact name of the book. I can send it to you. But basically, you just hang. That's the protocol. You hang from a bar or like just handles or straps or whatever on the ceiling or whatever. And it starts to reshape the bone that goes over top of your shoulder to allow more space in the inside. And I kid you not, that coupled with just some like arm lifts, and within 2 months, that completely went away. And I had always had problems with that rotator cuff. It just seemed like it went away. It was still there. It seemed like it went away because I was eating garbage, you know, and it was all inflamed, and it kept everything in place. So yeah, I had actually the reverse effect than you. So
were you doing the arm lifts with like some weights, like dumbbells or something, or were you just, what were you doing?
So basically the protocol that they suggested was start with like 1 pound weights, just take like cans of soup and just, you know, try to do up to 30 where you're just lifting it straight up to the sides, and then 30 where you're lifting it straight up to the front. And do that, you know, maybe once a day or every other day. And then once you can do that without being exhausted from doing it, you know, or failing, then up it to 2 pounds. Mm-hmm. So I'm up to 8 pounds now without any issues. But honestly, the range of motion, it went from about 60%. Like I literally couldn't lift my arm beyond like, I don't know, maybe like this angle. And now I can get it like completely straight up. It's insane.
That's awesome. Yeah, used to snatch on my shoulder and move it certain ways and make it pop and do all kinds, because it was aggravating down in there in between the joints or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's gotten, I would say, probably about 90% better. Every now and then, I still will like move it a little bit or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I would say it's probably 90 to 95% like completely better, but I still struggle with the strength. That's why I was asking about like weights or whatever, because like eventually, and a lot of people tell me in my videos, they say like, hey man, you need to start lifting some heavy things or whatever. So I've been thinking about like getting some dumbbells or something mm-hmm. to lift with a little bit, because I mean, I thought about getting a bench or something, but like I don't really have the space for it right now, because I mean, I'd have to give up smoker space, and that I gotta have smokers. And so right. I think dumbbells would take up like a lot less space to have some of those to kind of do some different little arm exercises with and mm-hmm. whatnot.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll send you the link to that book. It's literally like, I don't know, 50 pages or something like that. It's really short book, because the protocol is super easy, and it's literally just hanging. And I don't hang like full hang, you know, and try to hold on. I use like these things that go on your wrist, and then it has like a metal piece that you can hook onto the handles to kind of support. And then I just leave my feet on the ground and just, you know, just basically stretch myself out and just leave my feet on the ground for support. So I'm not putting like all that weight on that joint, and just start off slow, you know, maybe 5 seconds, 10 seconds at a time, a couple times a day. And over time, it gets better and better. And then that coupled with the exercises, one pound increments, and then gradually, you know, going up on the scale, it helps to build that muscle and the small muscles on the inside. And man, I'm telling you, it's freaking miraculous, because it was extremely acute pain. If I did something and I tried to like, and this is a bad example, but like open a bag of chips or something, like when it actually broke loose, that it would be like super sharp, acute pain. Like I would scream in pain. It was that bad. And yeah. I can do everything like normal now. So, but yeah, I'll link that. I need to come out with a video too. So the little dumbbells that I have, it starts at 2 pounds. You can go to 2, 4, 6, and 8. It's got like little snap-on weights that go with it. So you just basically have two dumbbells instead of having to have like 2 pounders, 4 pounders, 6 pounders, 8 pounders, and all that. So yeah, I'll do a video on it.
That'd be a cool video.
Yep. So let's see. Okay, let's do a couple more fun ones. And then I want to get some of your advice. So do you have a favorite board game or video game?
My favorite board game? I mean, I love playing checkers. I love playing Monopoly, too. Okay. I like Monopoly. A lot of people don't like it because it takes a while, but like I'm super competitive with it. Everybody in my family, they always get mad because I win every time. And like that, I mean, one time like a while back, one of them beat me, and like that was like the big thing in our family because I always win.
Nice.
So I like that, and then I like to play a lot of card games too. Like I like playing Rummy and Texas Hold'em and 21 and different card games. And there's this game called like Phase 10 and other different.
We play that all the time.
Yeah, I love Phase 10 and different games like that. But as far as video games go, I always loved playing like sports games like football and stuff, and then mainly football. When I was growing up, I was always into racing games like Need for Speed and all that stuff, Forza, things like that, and like games where you got to drift a car or race four wheelers or dirt bikes. I was always into that. And then I started playing on the computer a little bit, but I didn't play a lot of the games that people play, but I did like to play Call of Duty. I used to like to play Call of Duty a lot. But now here's the thing. So my daughter was born like a year and a half ago.
Right.
And that changed everything. So now I don't really have time to get on a game or anything. Sometimes in the evening, me and my wife will sit around and like play cards or something like that at the table and keep score and see how we do. Or we might play Monopoly with friends or whatever. But I mean, it's not as much as it used to be, because that little girl keeps us busy.
Yeah, I'll bet. That's awesome, man. Yeah, she's a cute little girl. I'm sure you got your hands full.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So going back to your channel, so what? Sometimes some of your videos, the thumbnails and titles are a little like shocking. Where do you get inspiration for some of that stuff?
I don't know. Like I used to try to come up with this. I used to watch this. I don't know. It's called TubeBuddy. I tried to go on there, which I didn't pay for it or whatever, but I would try to think of a name for my videos, and I would like see how it said the video might do or whatever. It was like keyword search or something. But eventually I kind of just stopped using that because I didn't think it was helping really. So now I just basically, I just talk about what's going on right now for me. Like And sometimes I'll get advice from like other videos that are going on, but I don't like to like do what everybody else is doing. I just talk about what's going on in my life or what I've been thinking about that day. Like some days I might be thinking about like why I'm still doing this or, you know, how I can motivate myself. Cause a lot of times when I'm doing a video and everybody's thinking that I'm motivating them, really I'm motivating me.
Right.
You know, I just happen to have the camera on, but like, it's like I'm talking to myself, helping myself, but it also helps other people. And that's what I want to do is just be somebody that encourages, so even if it's just one person, just encourage somebody. And so I don't know. I just get on there and share my story and think of something that people might like to see. I think that I name my videos very poorly, actually. Like I'm not like as good at it as what a lot of people are.
I think you're doing a great job, man. And I need to find a little bit of that swagger. I'm a little bit more conservative in my approach. And I definitely appreciate the stuff that you're putting out. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. I appreciate it, dude.
If somebody was looking to start the carnivore diet and, you know, they're a little bit iffy on it, they think maybe this is a crazy thing. You're going to die, you know, they're going to get scurvy. They have to have carbs. They need to follow the food pyramid. But they're curious, and want to start. What would be your top, tips for that person?
Stop being a chicken and eat the chicken. Like, just give it a try. Like, I mean, like, honestly, now that I've tried it, I ask myself what took me so long to give it a chance. Because if I'd done it for 2 weeks and I absolutely hated it, then I could have done something else or tried to find something else. But like, if you keep going through life and you're constantly thinking like, well, like, it might not work, it might not work, it might not work, and you're just not going to try anything, you need to go through life and like experiment and try something. And so, I mean, I tried it and it worked out great for me, and I don't have scurvy or anything like that. I'm not having all these different crazy things. I'm getting healthy. I'm losing weight. I don't have diabetes anymore. My shoulder doesn't hurt. All these different things are improving. So if it's helping me, I'm a regular human just like you. And so I think it might can help you too. Just give it a chance. Cause I tell people all the time, it changed my life and it can change your life too, if you'll just give it a shot.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I definitely appreciate that advice. So let's see, where can people find you? Obviously we know you're on YouTube. So are you on any other social platforms?
No, I've thought about, well, actually, yes. I recently, a while back, I started Instagram, and they can find me on @carnivore_Kip on Instagram. And then also just you can search Carnivore Kip on YouTube and I'll come up.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. So you're going to be a guest, a VIP guest on the 24-hour live stream in a week. What do you got planned for us?
I don't plan anything, man. I just get on there and be myself. Look, I ain't smart enough to plan stuff. I'm just a old country boy in South Alabama, so I just get on there and I just talk and have fun and cut up with y'all. Y'all might have something planned and I'll go by whatever y'all got planned, but I don't plan. I just get on there and I just... Anytime I didn't plan nothing for this thing. Whenever you were going to ask me questions, I didn't have no spiel all planned out. I just get on there and speak from the heart. That's the way I do it.
I love it, man. That's awesome. Well, Kip, I thank you for your time. I appreciate having the chance to talk to you. It's been an honor. And, you know, I wish you nothing but success with your channel and your live streams on Friday night. I definitely appreciate the time and effort that you're putting in. It definitely helps to inspire me. And I know it's inspiring others, thousands of others out there. And again, I just want to say thank you and I appreciate you.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me on. And also, Y'all keep doing that keto cookout because I like to get on there. I know I'm busy a lot of times, but I do like to get on there sometimes and check it out because it's fun watching y'all hang out and have fun and everything that y'all do. And I get to cracking up when y'all start dropping off the chat and coming back in and everything. I get a kick out of some of that. I think y'all are doing a great thing. And I know y'all have fun in there, but y'all also are helping people and being a lot. So, and I appreciate y'all inviting me to come on. I can't wait to be on there this coming up week. It's going to be exciting. And like I said, thank you for having me on here. It means a lot to me. And I'm sure we're going to do some more work together in the future.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you, Kip. Thanks, man.
Take care, man.
We'll talk soon. Bye.
All right.
To Carnivore Today. We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.